The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy.
Yeah. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
November 94, driving through eastern Kentucky on the way to hang with Ali in Louisville. First time since Lynn and I sold the house and bought one in Winston-Salem. A lot of change over the past couple years. That house in Winston, I swear I'm starting to think some homes are unlucky. Their own kind of haunted. Muhammad has seen serious change too, and I'm anxious to see how he's coping, while also hoping to shake a few ghosts out of my bloodstream. Tooling down I-64, watching bare naked trees and brown fields on both my left and right. Roving the FM dial in search of cleansing sounds, I land on Mountain Stage, a syndicated Americana show coming live from Freedom Hall in Louisville. This week featuring a favorite of Lynn's when we were living in Kentucky, Bruce Hornsby and the Range. Happy to be back in town, Hornsby says. Here's a Louisville tune, Across the River, the Great Ohio River. I want to dedicate this song to Louisville's own, the great Muhammad Ali.
Ali is my hero, the person that I looked up to growing up in Louisville, Kentucky. He allowed me to believe that I could achieve almost anything I set my mind to. I just have to get off my butt and do it.
That's Justin Cornwell, a young, talented actor who's been big time motivated by Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, Louisville. He is not only the most famous person that ever lived in Louisville, but part of the fabric of the city when we were honorary captains for the Louisville Sugar Bowl against Florida.
Welcome everybody to this presentation of the
2013 Mercedes-Benz. He was so glad to be there for the city, as was I, but I was even happier just to be around him.
And this is Tom Jackson, NFL vet and Hall of Fame sports commentator, who, despite not being starstruck by anybody, was wowed by Muhammad Ali.
Hanging on to him and holding him by the arm, I don't even remember the toss of the coin. I don't remember who won it, who got the ball first. The only thing I was thinking is, you're holding on to Muhammad Ali. You're helping him. And you're never going to forget it. You're never going to forget it as long as you live.
When I was a young boy who'd lost his mom, I desperately wanted to belong. I wanted to be made whole again. And through my experiences with Ali, and by finding an audience for my writing, now I know that I do belong, but also that I have all along. All things vibrate. All things are connected. How could it be otherwise? We seek connection, not recognizing there's nothing we need to do. The shape of tree trunks and branches, the form of our limbs and torsos, the rhythms I feel rotating inside me, the shape of hurricanes and of galaxies, the orbits of planets and of neutrons, so very similar. Everything is at the center. Rocks, pig shit, penises, popsicles, pumpkins, breast, electrons, stars, galaxy clusters, these cold fingers, us, everything, the gold we wear around our fingers and necks, the calcium that makes up our bones, both from the marrow of long ago exploded stars. We are, each of us, even in the strictest, most literal sense, the very stuff of the cosmos. Yet, that recognition doesn't make things new age easy. Ain't nothing easy. While I'm saying these words, star systems are getting gobbled up by black holes. Galaxies right now are being eaten by other galaxies. And on our shimmering blue marble, dictators breathe and laugh and destroy. And all the while, this remarkable man, Muhammad Ali, is slowly being eaten alive by Parkinson's disease. Yet, everywhere we look, all around us and inside us, there is beauty and magic. Episode 7, All Things Vibrate. Ali's mom, Mrs. Odessa Grady Clay, Mama Bird, dies in August 1994. Muhammad was closer to his mom than to anybody else. Her death hits him deep and hard. In November, I watched the Michael Moore George Foreman World Heavyweight Championship bout with Ali in a suite at the old Brown Hotel in Louisville. Moore Foreman is the only boxing match I've seen in a year. I just can't watch them anymore. I've stopped writing about people who punch each other in the head. This past summer, I managed to sell a couple pieces of short fiction, and I'm damned happy about that. More recently, I've chosen not to be working, hoping to rest and heal up. Lynn and I are divorcing. I understand what she finds so frustrating about me and about our lives together. She sees me on TV or hears me on the radio, acting like hot shit, she says time and again, believing the last word of that is true of me, if not the first or the third. Yes, ma'am, I'm hot shit, or at least I'm shit, she thinks. And all the time, she's getting more and more burned up that I can't pay the bills, like people who work in a real profession. I just don't have a romance any longer for the physical jabbing of boxing and martial art. It's time to grow out of a relationship where that emotional jabbing has been regarded as acceptable behavior. So here I am with Grandpappy Ali again, hoping my life will fall back into shape. I haven't seen Ali in a long time, mostly because magazine and newspaper editors no longer pay my expenses to hang out with him. All during this visit in Louisville, Ollie looks removed, as if from another dimension, as if he's staring at the world from the other side of a thick pane of glass. Early today, we move from appearance to appearance. There are globules of drool on Ollie's bottom lip. When he notices them, he sucks on his lip, bends his head, tugs at the left lapel of his suit jacket, and discreetly catches spittle near the inside breast pocket beside a label sewn into the jacket lining. "The greatest," the label reads in red Arabic-style stitching. Now, while we're watching the fight, and I'm watching Ollie intently watch the fight, Muhammad is lying on the bed. I'm sitting in a chair beside him. In the ring, Foreman is wearing the faded and shabby red and blue trunks he'd worn in his knockout loss to Ollie 20 years before. Trailing on every judge's scorecard in the 11th round, Foreman KOs Moore with a magically timed overhand right to the jaw. At 46 years old, Reverend George has become the oldest ever world's heavyweight champion. "I'm glad for him, glad for him," Ollie says when I ask what he feels. I notice Ollie's wearing a new timepiece. I suppose he broke the last one. He must have broke the last one. Playing with someone somewhere. Everyone everywhere. Always playing. Always throwing punches. Every watch he's worn has had a classic, clear, round face. A clear face that protects the watch's sweeping hands and that remind Ollie we're on a rotating dust mote speeding through the vast, fast cosmos.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Justin Cornwell has a deep connection to Muhammad Ali. He grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, volunteered at the Muhammad Ali Center, and graduated from Eastern High School before studying at the University of Louisville. He began his professional acting career at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Justin appeared on popular television shows such as Chicago PD and Empire before being cast with the late Bill Paxton in the CBS series Training Day. He later was seen in NBC's The In-Between, the Netflix film Jingle Jangle, A Christmas Story. It's almost impossible to have grown up in Louisville and have spent time with Muhammad Ali and not feel the impact of the great man.
Ali is my hero, the person that I looked up to growing up in Louisville, Kentucky. He allowed me to believe that I could achieve almost anything I set my mind to. I just have to get off my butt and do it.
You must have some full circle feeling having volunteered at the Ali Center as a teenager and then getting to hang out and spend time with Ali.
Walking into the Ali Center is an amazing experience. I'm looking at all of the exhibits and I'm looking at this beautiful mural and I'm painting this mural with Ali's face on it and with my face on it right there in the halls of the Ali Center. It still stands right now. And here comes Muhammad Ali walking inside with his entourage, and it was like watching a piece of history walk. And we got to go into this back room and we hung out and we were just kind of chilling there, and I see Ali and he's smiling and he's looking at the kids, and got to take this picture up with him. After that, I felt linked to Muhammad Ali. Every time I go back to Louisville, I'm looking at that mural. I'm walking in once again into the Muhammad Ali Center. It's my home, a place where my name still sits. Some years later, I'm going through the audition process for the show. The show is called In This Corner, Cassius Clay. It was written by an amazing playwright named Idris Goodwin. And Idris loved Ali as much as I did. I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I'm thinking, I can be Muhammad Ali. I could do the workouts. I could do whatever I had to do. He felt like he was already in my bones a little bit, just from having painted that mural and hanging out with him at the Ali Center. I studied every night, poured my sweat into trying to sound like him and trying to move like him and getting the words right. And I walked into the audition, into this big auditorium, and I could see the other guys who looked a little bit more like Ali than I did. Maybe they had his complexion down a little bit, but I knew that they couldn't have embodied what I would embody. It couldn't mean as much to them as it meant to me. I wasn't nervous at all. I got the job. And when they discovered that I'm from Louisville, that I had worked at the Muhammad Ali Center, every news outlet ran with that. The Louisville Sun returns as Ali. And I had such an amazing welcome back home. It was some of the most amazing experiences I've ever had working as an artist. I got to meet his brother, who would tell me how Ali walked when he was a kid, how Ali talked when he was a kid.
Nice, kind, sweet, loving, jolly. He was more so jolly. Ah, he liked to laugh and play.
He would share these anecdotes.
The love he had as a child, he carried it up to his adulthood. He's remained the same, but he got stronger the older he got.
Like, I was talking to Ali through him. I got to hang out with Muhammad Ali.
He almost spit me.
I had dinner at his house. And he brought my brother. We sat down on the couch and ate egg salad and grits and sat there on the lazy boy next to Muhammad Ali and watched Law & Order. That may be one of the greatest memories I had because it was human. The thing that we all do, we just have dinner with our family and watch television. It gave me such a confidence just sitting next to him, and it lasted through to the next year when I had the breakout moment of my career, my first television show in L.A. Warner Brothers called me and said, you got to come out here to L.A. tomorrow. I go out there and I realize that all of the bravado that I put on was starting to shake. When I walked into the room, another big auditorium, just like when I auditioned for Ali, but this time it was a bunch of Hollywood execs and studio heads. It felt overwhelming. And I shook. I literally was trembling as I was saying the words. And I felt like, oh no, I blew this. This was my chance and I blew it. I walked out of the audition and they kept me there for 2 hours while they auditioned everybody else. And then everyone left. They came back out and they said, Justin, you're the person we want. But we literally see you shaking in your audition. And the only thing I could think of was Ali.
I am the greatest.
I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. It made me feel like he was with me in those moments. Because back when I was having dinner with him, hanging out on the Lazy Boy, I remember walked in, he looked at me and he smiled. His eyes got big and he reached out his hand and he said, almost like, I got a gift for you. I got something to give you. Go ahead and take it. I wrapped my hand around his hand and he looked like he didn't have any strength left in his body. But when he grabbed my hand, he squeezed it and I felt a rush of energy. He was giving me the pieces of his spirit. He was infusing my spirit with the thing that made him unstoppable. It wasn't just confidence. It was also a knowledge of self, to understand that you are me, I'm you. We are the same. We're one at this moment. You were one. You are Muhammad Ali. And then I had to go and actually be Muhammad Ali on stage. So it did feel like a one-to-one transference of energy directly to me. I summoned that. I walked around the lot at Warner Brothers. I've never been to Los Angeles in my life. I've been working to be an actor my entire life. And this is the town that was going to make or break my career. This was it. I walked around and I looked at those lots at Warner Brothers and I had to forget about the pedestal that I put everything on. And I had to remember the humanity that Ali showed me, the confidence that I could be great. And I took that confidence and I walked back into that room and I gave another audition that was so good they decided that I didn't need to do another test. I ended up starring in the show only 3 days later. It was a beautiful time. I was able to find confidence, and I wouldn't have found it without trying to walk in Ali's footsteps. Not only the footsteps of his mentality, but his humanity as well. I'm still walking in his footsteps today. I ended up working with an organization called Kids in the Spotlight. What we do is we help kids from the foster care system who would have never had the kind of opportunities that I had with great teachers to get them into a position where they can learn how to act and direct and all these skills and work with professionals like myself, the whole gamut of amazing people. I feel a responsibility to transfer my energy. You get to be great, but you don't get to be great forever. Tell someone else that they're great and reach out your hand.
One of the most common questions I get is, among all the on-air personalities you've worked with, who's your favorite? The answer is easy. I had the great pleasure of being Tom Jackson's producer covering the NFL for ESPN from 1987 to 1992. He was recognized by the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2015 when he received the Pete Rozelle Radio and Television Award for his longtime exceptional coverage of professional football. In 2009, Tom won an Emmy Award as the Outstanding Studio Analyst, and in 1996, he won the Cable Ace Award in the same category. Prior to his successes in sports television, Tom was a three-time Pro Bowl linebacker for the Denver Broncos. During 14 NFL seasons, he led the Broncos to the Super Bowl twice in 1986. A member of the Broncos Ring of Fame, Tom was the franchise leader in seasons played and games played at the time of his retirement. He was named by his teammates Denver's defensive MVP three times and the team's most inspirational players 6 years in a row. And if it sounds as if I'm biased on the topic, that's because I am. Guilty as charged. TJ, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Sport. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. And just to get the nickname out of the way, my nickname at ESPN was Sport.
You'll always be Sport to me.
I know I'm in the company of one of my old colleagues when I hear that. So the last time I covered a Super Bowl was in 1994 in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And the Friday before the game, I came to you with a special invitation. Pick up the story from there.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly where we were, but I can definitely remember the question. You said, how would you like to have lunch with Muhammad Ali? And I repeated it. How would I like to have lunch with Muhammad Ali? Yes. Yeah, I would love to do that. You set that up. And I actually found it hard to believe. I was like, how's it going to happen? And you said, he's going to be in town and you can meet him for lunch. And I was in, all in.
Well, that was one of my gifts to you for all the fun we had together.
It was great.
The good work we did together and the laughs and all that. I knew it would mean a lot to you.
It's a story of growing up with someone who seems to be so different than all the rest of us. I'm not starstruck by people. I'm just not. I was starstruck when it came to Ali. There's something about him. You have this image of what you think he is. And then when you meet him, he's bigger than that. He's a bigger personality. He's a bigger human being. He does seem different. And then everything that goes on around him verifies that for you. When we did finally meet for lunch, by the time he left the restaurant, there were hundreds of people who had gathered outside the restaurant because they knew that he was there. Howard Bingham was there at the lunch as well. And as we got through with the lunch, he was like, Tom, you probably want to, you know, because we had some assignments and stuff to do. He said, you probably should go on and go because all of those hundreds of people who are outside this restaurant, Ali is going to sign all of their autographs. He's going to meet them. He's going to shake hands with them. He's going to take pictures with them because he will not leave anyone out there wanting to meet him or have something signed. He's not going to let them walk away disappointed. So it's going to take some time. And I just thought, wow, he's a different human being. I asked the question, how do people know where he is? And the answer is somebody knows where he is all the time. I think he liked it. He enjoyed people. His life was so public. But that privacy that I felt talking to him and having a chance to have a conversation with him was extraordinary. I always remember the very first thing he ever said to me. We sat down. And he looked at me and he went, Joe Frazier.
I'm certain he was familiar with you from television. And maybe he didn't put two and two together. But when I said Tom played football for Louisville, he and Lonnie, their eyes kind of popped up and then it clicked, right? And
yes, yes.
Friends of Muhammad will tell you if there's a Louisville connection, you're in.
Yeah, Louisville. Not only the most famous person that ever lived in Louisville, but part of the fabric of the city. And yeah, I know that when we were honorary captains for the Louisville Sugar Bowl against Florida, 2013.
Huge play to start the game. Terrell Floyd, touchdown, Louisville. It could not have been a better start for the Cardinals.
He was so glad to be there for the city. as was I, but I was even happier just to be around him. I was like, I'm going to get to be around Ali again. And my daughter's going to get to be around Ali. So this is going to be the experience of a lifetime. She's going to remember it forever. I almost enjoyed that more than me being around him. And I know that sounds odd, but when your kids get a chance to experience something that you know is important and you don't know exactly how they're going to accept it. She's a different generation than Ali. Yes, she's heard about him from me. In my head, I'm like, is she going to understand who this man is? Is she really going to get it? And before we actually met him, we had arrived at the stadium. We had some people taking us through some different areas. And she turned to me and she said, am I going to get a chance to meet Ali? I said, I don't know. I said, what I'll tell you is this. I said, they're going to set up us going out to the field in some way, shape, or form, and it's going to be whatever he wants. I said, if he wants to stay, then he'll stay. And if he wants to leave, they will make arrangements for him to leave. They're going to do whatever it is that he wants to do. He's just unique. What he was doing seemed so outside the realm of the norm that he was alone. That's one of the things I respect most about him. He didn't take his cues from anybody. They took us finally down to the locker room that led out to the field. And when we walked into that locker room, Ali was sitting there. From that moment on, Taylor literally was mesmerized by what she felt, what she saw, the interaction with him. It came time for us to go out on for the toss of the coin. And Lonnie asked me, when he gets out there, he had time sometimes maintaining his balance. Would you mind holding him? The feeling, even right now, is one of, I don't even know where to put it. I was so honored that she would ask me, and I told her that it would be an honor for me. I've never forgotten it. It's one of the great moments in my life, hanging on to him and holding him by the arm. I don't even remember the toss of the coin. I don't remember who won it, who got the ball first. The only thing I was thinking is, you're holding on to Muhammad Ali. You're helping him, and you're never going to forget it. You're never going to forget it as long as you live. I felt such a sense of pride. I had to steel myself against tears in that moment. Oh my goodness, would I? And just making sure that he's okay. Yeah, that's the moment. He ended up staying for the game. Taylor had a chance to sit right next to him, which I will tell you, it might have been the line of the night. She's having a great time. Muhammad's having a great time. And Lonnie comes over to me and she turns to me and she goes, you know, he still likes to interact with a pretty girl every now and then. And we step back into the hotel room and Taylor turns to me and she said, Dad, it's like being with royalty. She goes, being with him was like being with royalty.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, he is royalty. He is royal in every way and treated as such. And there's nobody who doesn't feel it when you're around him. If he doesn't say anything.
Right.
If he doesn't say a thing, it makes no difference. It's just that you realize you're in the midst of greatness. My wife, Jennifer, had a chance to meet him at a 70th birthday party out in Arizona. And I told her before he and Lonnie arrived, because we were there for 4 days. It was a celebration of Ali's birthday. So there were a number of people who spoke. And I was asked, they said, would you speak last? And I said, sure. But it's the kind of thing that you want to get right. And I had thought about it quite a bit. I got out there and I told him, I said, I want to tell you about the first time that I heard your voice. That's the way I started it. February 25th, 64. And I said, I told him, I'm laying in bed with my dad. I don't know actually anything about you. I said, I'm just laying in bed with my dad and knowing that Sonny Liston is supposed to beat somebody else up and move on to the next opponent. I said, and we're listening to the fight on a radio. It wasn't on TV. I said, you win the fight, and I heard your voice. Then you were screaming.
I'm young, I'm handsome, I'm fat, I'm pretty, and can't possibly be beat.
At the top of your lungs, that how pretty you were, how you were the greatest fighter of all time, how you had shook up the world, how nobody should ever doubt you again, no matter what. And I told him, I said, something inside me was touched, like millions of other kids just like me. The young African-American black kid, I had never heard a black man talk like that. And then there was my dad, a completely other generation. My dad turned to me and he goes, he's crazy. And that's what I wanted him to know. That was the beginning of the relationship for many, many kids, many, many young people. We all experienced the same thing. You came out and you were like, I am this. I am different. I am going to be boastful about who I am. I am going to give confidence to people who don't have it. I'm going to make people feel good. And that's what he did for me. And I told my wife, Jennifer, I said, you should prepare yourself before he gets here. I said, because you cannot imagine the emotion. There's about 300 people. I said, you're going to see some emotion that you have not seen before that's going to be exhibited toward him as soon as he gets here. And sure enough, he comes in, they wheeled him in. He's in a wheelchair. And people broke down in tears, and not tears of sadness. I'm talking about just an overflow of emotion. People who had young kids who were there at this thing, who brought them over so that Ali could touch them. There was a couple of babies in the area. People brought those babies over to touch him as if he was an apostle. Jen had tears coming out of her eyes, and I told her, I knew what it was going to be because I have felt it myself. You can't help but feel it, and he lives with it all the time. That night, I don't know that he said one word the entire night. He was just sitting there. And yet there was all of this emotion around him. That's what I felt. That's what I felt. Here's what I would say. There's something spiritual about him. I can't explain it. I don't know what it is. There's something spiritual. If that word has the meaning that it's supposed to have, godlike, not God, but godlike, emulating something spiritual in many ways. That's what I felt about him.
How does he impact your life today? You still think about him a lot?
The thing that he passed on, and try to be straight with people. It's not always easy. There's always different things that get involved in life. Even when you mentioned my retirement, we had a pretty good thing going around the time I retired. And I remember having the conversation with a few people and saying, yeah, but what I would rather be doing is hanging out with the girls. I don't feel the necessity to sit there in the studio for the next 10 years and, you know, I'm doing all right and feels good to do what I want to do. I don't have to be what anybody wants me to be. I can just be who I want to be. If there's ever a message that he gave us, it couldn't have been stated more simply. Sometimes the most complicated issues are solved in very simple statements. That's what that felt like to me. He said such simplistic things, but if you take it and you break it down, there's just no mistaking the straightforwardness of it. So hopefully that's how it passes on.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
In our final episode of The Tao of Muhammad Ali, Ali transforms my son Isaac's life.
My father spent a lifetime living in the Tao of Ali.
in the footsteps. Through meeting him, you opened doors that you never would have. You became a writer. But Ali gave you the confidence to follow that dream. It also trickled down to me. The way that I've been influenced by you and the life that you've led, the way that you've used writing, that means everything.
We'll explore Ali's influence on today's generation. All that and more. Stay tuned. The Tao of Muhammad Ali is produced by Imagine Audio for iHeart Podcast and hosted by me, Davis Miller. My co-host is Craig Mortali. Cara Welker, Mark Bouch, Nathan Clokey, Derek Jennings, and little old me, Davis Miller, are executive producers. Produced by Craig Mortali. Sound design and mixing by Juan Borda. Music by DJ Spar, and introducing a very good pal of mine, Isaac Miller, and also Luminescence track, Nuage. Visit luminescentmusic.com to check out more from the band.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.